Our thoughts are still concerning some of Pilgrim's Progress this morning. But I wanted to say that I want to use the word entertain. And I want to entertain you this morning. I do not want to amuse you. And I'm not trying to provide some kind of amusement. But when I looked up the word entertain, I found it had a meaning of to promote to consideration. So that's my purpose this morning, is to promote us to consideration. It also means to stimulate or motivate. And then the extension of those words is to encourage development and to encourage or increase activity. So our thoughts this morning are to encourage us to greater development and activity in our walk with the Lord. So with that in mind, I want to entertain you this morning. And I'm not going to give just a lot of Pilgrim's Progress. It in itself is entertaining. It's a challenge to us to read it and to study it and to gain motivation by the things that John Bunyan had vision of and understanding. And I'm going to just go over to a section or a part and use it in opening up to us this morning. Christian, when he was at the House of Beautiful, he was taught many things during that time. He was shown many things, and it was to help him on his way. But as he became impatient to be on his way, the porter of the House Beautiful that was giving him those instructions and teaching him the lessons that he had there told him, "No, I want you to tarry, for there's a few more things I want you to learn." I'm thinking of our walk with the Lord, that sometimes we may get impatient also to grow in the things of God, maybe quicker than what we are. But if we will just hold firm and steady and allow the Lord to lead us in His time, we will learn the lessons. And I want us to keep that in mind this morning, that God has a time that is not always our time, and that He has lessons for us that we may not be ready for, but He knows the proper time to unfold those things. Well, as the porter of the House Beautiful was speaking to Christian, he said, "I want to take you into this armory." And when he took him in there, he showed him, the book says it like this, showed him all manner of furniture. Well, that would be a very old term. We would think of furniture as being those pieces of articles that we sit on in our houses. But the word furniture actually means the necessary equipment. So it was an old term. But I like for us to think of it in that way. He took him in there and began to show him the articles of things that were used and that will be used and will be necessary for him in his journey. And he also showed him the provisions for all future needs. And what those were, it was the sword, it was the shield, the helmet, the breastplate, and he showed him shoes that would not wear out. And the last thing that he showed him in that particular setting was the weapon of all prayer. So he was given some a vision of what he would need as he went on his way. The page that I was reading there, it said that all was provided for all pilgrims. So what the plan of God is, it reaches to you and me today. It wasn't just for this allegory. It wasn't just for the generations of that time, nor the generations before us, but it is for this generation. And he has all provisions for you and me to make heaven. He's made a way. Thank the Lord. And it said that it was provided for all pilgrims by the Lord of hosts, and it was enough to harness as many men for the service of their Lord as there were stars in heaven. So the equipment that God has for you and me today is not scarce. It's not limited. It's enough for us in this day. Thank the Lord. So, as he also looked, he was made to see some ancient things, it was called. They were called engines. I'm going to call them tools. But these engines, which the servants of the Lord had done wonderful things, and as we name them, you will see they were tools. Moses's rod. He was presented, this is like a museum where it's collected there to be shown to future generations that this is how it was done in the past and it can be used by faith today. And so Moses had a rod, and it was an ancient tool. And we don't go around using the rod today, but we have faith in the rod. And we know what God did with this tool in Moses' hand. And so next he saw was pitchers and trumpets and lamps. And then he was given the account of Gideon and how that they put the armies of Midian to flight. And next was a jawbone, and Samson did mighty treats with a jawbone. And then he saw David's sling and stone that slew the giant. This is all to encourage his faith of God did this for those of old, but he can do this for you. Thank the Lord. There were many others. I didn't really write down all that were in that particular category. But after Christian had witnessed these, looked upon them, and heard the instructions of it, he wanted to be on his way. And yet the porter said, "No, I have some more for you." So Christian needed a vision. And you and I need some visions along the way too. We preach messages on the scripture that says, without a vision, the people perish. And we understand what that particular vision means. But I believe that we need some visions similar to what Christian had in this book. What Christian needed was a vision of the Delectable Mountains, and it was to add to the comfort of the Christian journey. And as he looked through the spyglass, he saw in the distance pleasant mountains. He had not come to those mountains. He's nearly at the beginning of his journey. But he needed to see some things that he could have hope in when he gets to those places. So he's looking at beautiful woods and vineyards and fruits of all kinds and flowers and springs and fountains. And it was very delectable to behold, it said. And then he saw the gate to the celestial city. Oh, that's what we need a vision of today. We need a vision of our goal, where we're headed. We need that goal set in our minds every day. We have a purpose, and he had a purpose. But he had to have some hope of what was out before him. He had already passed through some places. He had already met the lions, but the lions were chained. His faith was tested at those places. He came to the arbor. Remember that part where he was weary and he laid down and he went to sleep. And his scroll that was to be given at the end of the way slipped out of his hand. And then he found that he was without it before he went too far. Here he had to retrace his steps. There were lessons that he was learning all along the way. But he had not met his greatest battles yet. He's just starting out. And he needed to have a hope and a vision. And you and I need to have a hope and a vision of eternal life. And we need to have a hope and a vision in the grace of God. One of the lessons that he saw when he was at the house of the interpreter was very important for him. One of the first things he was shown, was a picture that represented Jesus Christ. And how that name was the only name whereby men should be saved. And it was the only grace through Jesus Christ that could help him through the dangers and all of the places he would meet as he went along. That was the first thing. You and I need to keep our minds stayed on Jesus. The scripture says that you and I will have perfect peace if we keep our mind stayed upon him. Thank the Lord. One of the other lessons that he had there at the house of the interpreter was he was shown this wall, and there was a fire burning in front of the wall. Beside it was a person that was pouring water on it, trying to extinguish the flame. And so he said to the interpreter, he said, "What does this mean? The flame is still burning." And the interpreter said, "This is Satan that is trying to put out the fire." But the fire is still burning. And so he took him on the other side of the wall. And there was another man that was pouring oil on the fire all the time. It was burning higher and hotter all the time. And the interpreter said, "This is Jesus, and this is his grace, and his grace is sufficient for you. He will keep you burning with the grace of God." And so we have a scripture that says, "Where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound." And we're in that age where sin is abounding. But I want to tell you, you can trust Jesus, that he can give you the grace. And so that was a little picture of the grace of God. And we need to think about that, that in Pilgrim's Progress, there was a lesson. Yes, Satan is wanting to extinguish the fire in our lives. He's our opposer, and he is wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. And he has a purpose. He has his sight set on you. He has his sight set on me. And yet Jesus has his eyes set upon us also. And he's willing to be there when we need the grace the most. And he's pouring the oil on and the fire is still burning. Thank the Lord. Well, those were some lessons that Christian learned when he was in the house of the interpreter. But now he's coming down and it's time for him to take his journey. And you've got to have a vision of what's before you, the good things that are before you. There are many good things along the way living for the Lord. It is the best way to live. God has such grace and power. He said, and it was brought out in the Sunday school, no good thing will he withhold from them that love him. Those that walk uprightly, God is going to be there. He has blessings that is beyond, it's abundantly and above all that we can ask or think. And so we need a vision. We need a spyglass that we can look and we can say, those that have gone before us, God kept them. He walked with them. He talked with them. He blessed them. He kept them. He upheld them. He will do the same for us. Thank the Lord. And so he had this vision, and it was just necessary for him to see these things before he took his journey. But oh, to see the gate to the celestial city, it had to be part of his vision. And one of the things that John Bunyan wrote, he said, this is a common sighting for all pilgrims. Have you had the sighting? Ask for it if you haven't. Tell the Lord in prayer, Lord, I want a vision of the gates to the city. Oh, it may not be a literal gate, but it will be something that will attract you and cause you to want to go forward. So, let's see. So before he was to set on his journey, the porter said, I want to take you back to the armory. And he said that Christians were harnessed from head to toe with proven armor for all assaults in the way. So Christian went back and he was outfitted with an armor that would protect his person, his spiritual person, his very being. And we're going to talk about that armor a little bit later, but we want to go next to a scene of his first encounter in the way. There were four that gave him much instruction and counsel while he was at the house of the porter, or the house beautiful. And as he was departing from there, they went with him. And he is headed down into the valley of humiliation. And they are helping him as he goes down. And Christian said, it was difficult coming up, but I found it dangerous going down. So now he's outfitted with armor. All of the vital parts of his very spiritual being is covered. And like I say, we will go over those a little bit later. But as he is going down, it said that he almost had many a slip. And so the four that were traveling with him encouraged him as he was going down, repeating some of the counsel that was given to him. Don't you know that you and I need things repeated to us along the way? That we may get online and listen to some messages and we'll hear this minister speak on this scripture, and then you may hear another one speak on the very same scripture. You may hear certain verses quoted or preached on several times right here in the congregation. You may hear some of the very same stories told over and over. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have heard many stories among the older ministers telling of their experiences, and they were alive every time. God wants us to keep our testimonies alive. He wants us to keep the Word of God alive. And so they were telling him and repeating all of the counsel that they had given him, reassuring him, reaffirming what the Word was. We need the Word reaffirmed with us all the time. Not just in our services here, but in your private devotions. You need to take the Word of God. You need to apply it to your life. You need to eat the Word and digest it in your life. It will be sweet, the Scripture says, and we've said it many times. It'll be sweet in your mouth. It'll be bitter in your belly. That's when we apply it to our lives, but it works in our lives. Thank the Lord. So these four were going with him as he approached the Valley of Humility. He hadn't gone very far in that valley when he met his first battle. And that battle was with what was called a foul fiend. And he was coming to meet him, and he saw it, and he was afraid. There's going to be some things that you and I can be, we will be, fearful. As we see them coming, as we may see a battle that I'm going to have to face, we may feel afraid. Christian felt that way. And he almost turned and went back. But he remembered he did not have any armor for his back. And so he knew he had to face the fight. So he began to look and wonder, how am I going to face this fight? And he considered all of his weapons that he had. His weapon, his sword, his shield, all of his armor, and then the weapon of all prayer. And so the foul fiend came, and he began to disdain him and put him down and told him that he was his subject, that he came from his country, and that he had to take him back. He had to go back or give his life right there. Christian said, I am on the way to the city of Zion. Make up your mind where you're going this morning. Make it sure. I have no intentions of going back. I will spill my blood before I will go back. I'll not be in that city of destruction. I will not suffer the destruction that awaits all of the lost. I am headed to the city, to the celestial city. So the fight began, and it was a very horrible fight that took place. Besides intimidations, besides the accusations, it actually came to a full-blown attack. And Apollyon, the foul fiend, he said, you shall go no farther. There will be times that the enemy will come against you in your life, and you will feel that being said. This is as far as you're going to go. I'm going to be your master now. And he told him, here I spill thy soul. I want to tell you, Satan is out to destroy your soul. He wants to destroy you in your body. He wants to destroy you in your mind. He wants to destroy you in your emotions. He wants to destroy your spirit, but he wants most your soul. So he says, the story says that he shot a flaming dart at Christian's breast, but it was intercepted by the shield of faith. But then he hailed darts upon him until Christian was wounded, it said, in the hand, in the head, and the foot. Christian resisted as best as he could, but the battle and the conflict lasted half of a day, and he was much spent, and his wounds weakened him. And Apollyon felt sure to press Christian unto death, and Christian despaired for his very life. And with his last small strength, oh, I love this part. Christian is down. He has dropped his sword. It looks as though he will not last. He will not live. His soul will be spilled out. But with his hand, he reached out and he found the sword. Oh, thank the Lord. It's so encouraging that John Bunyan had visions such as this, that you and I can hear it and read it and study it, and we can come to places like this. Don't forget your sword. Even if you're weakened, reach out and get a hold of the sword. And he drew his sword up, and he struck a blow with all of his might. And he said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." And with that, he struck a deadly blow, and Apollyon gave back. Oh, thank the Lord. Does that inspire you? And be encouraged to keep the sword of the Word of God, the sword of His Spirit, close, always. It's powerful. And then Christian said, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And with that, the foul fiend took his flight. And then I want to give you what Christian did afterwards, and let us not forget this part. When we have gained a victory, let us not forget to do as Christian did. He smiled and he looked upward and he gave thanks to him that delivered him from the foul fiend. And then there came a hand with some leaves from the tree of life. And Christian applied these leaves to the wounds, and they healed immediately. And he strengthened himself then with bread and drink. Oh, I want to tell you, when I was reading this and studying it, when I read this part about the leaves from the tree of life, I've been so inspired. You and I are going to be wounded along the way. It's going to be part of our walk. And there's going to be times you'll feel like that wound can't be healed. Have faith in God. Have faith that He has some leaves from the tree of life. Oh, I've been praying for others that I know are wounded right now. I've been asking the Lord, send some leaves from the tree of life and cover their wounds, heal their wounds. Oh, let's get a hold of that this morning, that God is able to heal the wounds of life. So that's the little scene that I wanted to entertain you with this morning, that I want you to take with you today. It was his first deadly battle, but it wasn't his last. He met many more battles along the way, but it was those things he learned while coming to that great battle. And those visions that he had of the good things that God has for his people, and for the grace that he has, that he is ever there to give us that grace. It was those few little lessons that followed him all of the way and that strengthened him in those times of battle. So now let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Let's talk about the armor, because you and I need to be outfitted with the armor also. I'm going to read verses 10 through 18 of the sixth chapter of Ephesians. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, I've been inspired and maybe burdened on prayer. How we pray. Let's use the word of God in prayer. Use these words. Father, help me to be strong in the power of your might. Use the word of God. And then it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the cunning deceptions, the cunning tricks. The enemy is he has a plan, and he wants to appear as an angel of light. He wants his voice to not sound like the devil's voice. And you and I need to learn what that sounds like. We need a spirit of discernment. I've been praying, Lord, give me a spirit of discernment that I can discern the voice of the enemy. And you and I are going to need this armor, because we're going to face some cunning deceptions and some tricks and traps and snares all along the way. And it says, verse 12, for you and I wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our wrestling is against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Oh, don't think of this in terms of political things. We're in a spiritual warfare. I know there's horrible things out there, but I tell you, you'll get in a trap if you don't see your spiritual warfare. And the rulers of darkness are spirits of darkness. You need discernment to discern the spirits and name them out. Identify them. Identify a spirit of anger. Identify a spirit of hatred. Identify a spirit of malice. Identify a bitter spirit. Even if you see it in others, or if you're fighting it yourself, identify it and put a rebuke against it in the name of Jesus. Thank the Lord. Name it out. Because that's our battle. It's an unseen battle, but a very real battle. Rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, from what I studied about, the high places can be in religious places. High places are considered to be religious places. Let it not be once named among us. Lord, help us. The enemy would like to have spiritual wickedness among us. And then verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then stand, therefore. I want to tell you, it's real easy to get intimidated. The enemy wants to intimidate us and make us think we're too weak to stand. But we must stand. And then we must have, number one, the first thing that he says, we must have our loins girt about with truth. Oh, hold to the truth. Desire truth. ask for truth. Speak unto the Lord and say, Lord, thou art the God of truth. Give me all truth. The Lord cannot work with us with a half truth or a half of a lie. He can't do it. We will not avail ourselves in His mighty strength. We must have all truth. And the loins, this part around the loins, it was called a girdle. And that particular piece of the armor, it held all of the rest of the armor together. Don't you know truth will hold all of your armor together? It's not built on a lie. There is no darkness in God, and there is no lie in God. His word is true. His word is truth. He is the truth. He is the life. And then the scripture says, having on the breastplate of righteousness, the very part that is vital, the heart, the organs, it is there to protect the spiritual heart, the spiritual organs of my body, my spiritual body. And then it says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, I want to tell you, we need peace. We need the peace of God that passeth understanding. And we need our feet shod with the gospel of peace. The feet are very important because they walk. They carry us forward. If the feet are injured and we are crippled, we cannot march. We cannot go forward. And these shoes were made to not wear out. These shoes that are shod with the gospel of peace, it will last till you no longer need them. Thank the Lord. 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith, and it says above all, above everything else, you've got to have the shield of faith. Faith is vital to your fight, to your walk, to your stand, to your victory, to where you will come in the end. It is faith. And Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith? We've had messages on that particular scripture. But I want to tell you, you can answer and say, yes, I will find faith. Lord, find faith in me. Give me the faith. Seek after faith. Seek for the faith of Christ every day. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet the gift of faith. Covet the gifts. Seek for them. You might say, I said it. Lord, I'm not qualified. And the Lord said, I'll qualify you. He will qualify you and me if we're seeking for the best gifts. Covet earnestly the gift of faith. You're going to need it. And the shield of faith, it will be that thing that will quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to tell you, you've got to have the Word of God in your life. So often the enemy comes in when we're trying to seek after a portion of his word, and he just makes it like it's muddled. I can't understand it. I'm not getting anything out of it. You've got to press that beyond that too. You have to keep pressing, keep asking, keep seeking. The Lord will come and he will open up the word of God. He'll make it alive. He'll make it precious. It will feed your soul. It will strengthen you. It will be that thing that will defeat the enemy. Jesus himself used the word of the Lord against Satan. In his temptation, it was the word of the Lord that he used against him. Get the word of the Lord in your mind, in your heart. Let it be precious to you. If you come across a portion, some of it is hard to understand. Keep on going till you find something that will feed you and strengthen you. You've got to have the word of the Lord in your walk. So we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, and then verse 18, praying. Praying always. Oh, I want to tell you, I've been praying and asking the Lord, teach me better how to pray. Teach me how to pray the prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. It availeth much. We're going to need it. You are going to need it. God can teach us how to pray. He can open it up to us. I believe it because it's a weapon. And we're going to read about another weapon, but it's all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. We need to pray for one another. Don't forget to pray for the saints. Don't forget to pray for each other. Oh, I have another scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 and 4. And it's about our warfare too. And it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Well, I want to tell you, there is some warring with the flesh. Because the scripture does tell us that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul said he had to beat his body under. He had to keep his body, his flesh under. So don't just take this verse and say, well, I don't have to war with the flesh. You've got to keep your flesh under in subjection to the Spirit of God. And then it says, and I've been using these scriptures right here. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Oh, those are powerful words. Get a hold of the weapons of warfare. Ask the Lord. Let's turn over and read another scripture in 2 Chronicles right quick. 2 Chronicles, the second chapter and verse 17, I believe. We can be taught how to fight. Second chapter and verse 17. Oh, this is another place. I forgot that I put this one down. This is one of my favorite scriptures. This is an account. And it is, I think I have, it's probably 1 Chronicles, the second chapter, but I can tell it. It is when a great host was coming against the children of Israel, and they did not know how to fight. And Jehoshaphat said, he took it before the Lord, and the Lord said, you will not have to fight in this battle. This battle is the Lord's. I want to tell you, when you're in a battle, God sees it. We've made some statements here of late. What concerns you, it concerns God. the battles you fight concern him too.
It's the
20th chapter. 20th chapter. Okay, thank you. The 20th chapter. And oh, there it is. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and ye shall prosper." And he said, in verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord will be with you." And if you finish that chapter, you'll see that they had such a victory that it took 3 days to collect the spoil. So God, his battles are winning battles. Thank the Lord. But the other scripture was in Psalms 144. And 1 and 2. And I like this too. It said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Well, I don't believe that's our literal hands and our fingers, but the Lord wants to teach you and me how to fight our battles. And he is able to help us to know how to fight our battles. We have songs. So many of our songs are songs of victory. Do we have any songs that are about defeat? About failure? Or do we have songs about "the victory is mine"? The victory is mine. The victory is mine. "Ye shall have the victory if ye count it so." We have a song on the fiery darts. A writer understood what it was saying when it said it would quench the fiery darts, the shield of faith. Oh, I want us all to be encouraged this morning. Go forth. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. How many times has that been quoted? We need to hear it over and over. We're in that kind of time. We're in the time of fighting for our very soul, our life. Thank the Lord. He is able. He is able to deliver. And put your name in there. Put your name in there. He's able to deliver thee, whoever you are. I desire prayer. I feel like that the enemy... I am not going to testify for the enemy. I know the Lord has the victory. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen.